Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize
when we ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. Go ahead and pull down on those safety bars because we will not be doing that for you. Gentlemen, 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 this is milestone episode 70. We are over the hill.
It's 69 more than I thought we'd ever do.
It's 70 more than I thought we'd do.
Well, I thought we'd get the first one before anybody cut us off.
This was your idea.
Well, but I didn't mean I believed in it.
Oh.
Guys, this is a very special show, and why is that?
This is going to be the show we flash back to all the other shows, all 69 other shows, and show clips from all those.
Why is it a special show, Derek?
I thought we were going back in time again.
No.
Again, I still don't understand how I'm the only one that ever knows what we're talking about. This is episode 70, Enchanted Extras, with Josh from EZWDW, the one, the only, the infamous Josh Humphrey. Josh, how are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. You didn't sound very sure of yourself there.
We never are.
We like to sound that way, though.
Did we introduce you well enough?
Well, we could always try again later.
Okay, we may do that. Well, Josh, we appreciate you joining us. As always, we told you we share your advice with a lot of people on the show and appreciate all the advice that you give us. And we last saw you, we dined with you at Spice Road Table. Did you enjoy dining with the Grim Grinning Guys that evening?
I always do when I do not have to pay.
Well,
and with all the other customers there that night, so many people in there.
Yes.
Yeah, it was nice that everybody could pitch in a couple dollars to cover the bill.
Well, we are going to talk a little bit. I'm pretty much going to be interviewing the three of you because you have had, obviously, experience with a number of enchanted extras, as Disney calls them, those add-on events. And Craig and Derek recently enjoyed the after-hours event at Magic Kingdom as well as early morning magic the next day. And so we're going to get your guys' thoughts and reflections on those and perhaps maybe some other enchanted extras. Does that sound good to you?
Sounds good to me.
All right, guys, y'all want to... Well, first off, why don't you tell Craig, Derek, why don't y'all share a little bit about your experience at Disney After Hours at the Magic Kingdom? We'll start there, and then we'll move on.
With After Hours? Is that
After Hours, yes.
I don't listen real well when you're talking.
That's true. That's okay.
So we started our last trip was really began with the... What's it called again?
Disney After Hours.
That's it.
Sorry. I wasn't even there, and I know what it's called.
Again, it's a hard ticket event. What did we say it was? About, I think standard is $120.
Yes. About $120 without the AP discount.
And 3 hours?
Yes. Of 3 hours.
Of really,
why are you asking me? I didn't go to
it. I'm just because you know about it and I've forgotten already. I did find it enjoyable, but I have not really reflected on it a whole lot since.
You have the park open from 10 until 1 o'clock. You can get in the park at 7 o'clock. But from 10 to 1 o'clock, you have access to all the rides as well as the snack carts that have popcorn, Mickey bars, as well as other ice cream choices, soft drinks, or waters. And that is unlimited. You can stand there at the cart all night long and not ride a single ride. So,
but you probably want to ride a ride.
Or two.
Josh, how many of the After Hours events have you attended?
I've been to two.
One was the same night we were there, did not realize you were there, and the other one was earlier in the summer, is that correct?
Oh, earlier this year.
Okay.
Maybe March.
So what are your, you actually put an entry on your blog, and for those listeners who have not visited there, ezwdw.com is where you can find all of Josh's content, but you did an entry that was very informative. Briefly, what are some of your overall impressions of the event? Is it worth the money? Because it is a pretty high price tag. What do you think?
Well, it certainly can be worth the money. It depends a bit on how you go about your day, whether or not you're using it in place of a day ticket. A lot of people look at it from that point of view. You can bypass maybe the park hopper, or if you're maybe going for one day or you have relatives in town who aren't so sure about the crowds and whatnot, you can certainly make it work that way. It's a good event. It does exactly what it says it's going to do. But the downside, I think, is the fact that it's at the very end of the night, so you have a tendency to count down the time until it's over, and a lot of the attractions can take a considerable amount of time, even if you are walking right on the ride. When I went the last time, we walked right onto Big Thunder Mountain and right on to Splash Mountain and right on to Haunted Mansion, and with the stack break, that took almost an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's one thing I remember from reading your entry, is it does kind of, part of the fun, it almost seems like, is taken away from the fact that you are watching the clock constantly. Craig, Derek, did you kind of find that when you were there?
I did. I guess the good thing is Derek and I tried to get there as early as we could. We got there at 7 o'clock. We did not necessarily, I'm trying to think, do we have a park ticket that day? We had park hopper that day, but we chose to go there about 7 o'clock.
You were living it up constantly until
without
I got there,
you. Yes. But we got there at 7 and enjoyed a lot of the things that we didn't want to waste time with at the event. And uh-huh. I think that's a key to it, is if you get there at 10 o'clock, you are going to feel rushed. And like Josh said, I can definitely see where you're counting down. I don't know, we don't get so much time to do this and this. One of my favorite things we did was riding Space Mountain, and they had it set up where you could go around and get right back on the ride pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So you could ride that multiple times without really, I mean, you had to get off, but it still was relatively quick that way. I think Derek and I got to do everything we wanted to do that night and then some. There was nothing really left out, but I definitely see where we did at the close of the day, like you said, like Josh said, that started going, oh no, our time's running out, we got to do this, mm-hmm. got to do that. So yeah, I definitely can see that.
Now, Josh, when you went, did you kind of have a set plan of what you wanted to do? Because as you said, you want to maximize your time. It's a limited amount of time. Did you kind of map out what you wanted to do ahead of time?
Oh, probably to a point. I think everybody has their favorites, and you sort of know the attractions that are going to have long wait times during the day. I don't think there's anything wrong with riding Splash Mountain that's going to take 25 minutes to do, because you're enjoying 25 minutes worth of ride, so there is that point. And I don't know how people feel about the nighttime atmosphere with so few people in the park. That may be something that's up to personal preference, but I've always felt like the energy is sort of sapped from the park when there are so few people around. You know, there's no special entertainment whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's dark. So I'm not sure if people enjoy that aspect or not, but it's something that I think takes away from the event, unlike the early hours event where you're really looking forward to the whole day after the special time ends.
I think the only after hours, the special entertainment we saw was Derek and I walked by in Liberty Square. There was a circle of cast members. When someone would step in the circle, they would applaud and cheer, and when they stepped out of the circle, they would get quiet. That was
the custodians.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
And they would cheer when you stepped in the circle, and then when you stepped out, they would stop cheering. I'm not sure what exactly it.
That seems like the $100. That sounds like $120 worth right there.
That was the only event we saw.
Josh, have you ever been asked to step in that circle?
You know, I saw a whole lot of wet rats on the ground, and I thought about getting towards the wet rags, but I just continued on my way, so I did not partake, which is maybe why I don't find the value in the event.
And probably there was probably already someone cheering for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would guess so. It's only in my head.
But I did, I pulled up what we did on that evening. The party started at 10, of course. We did Big Thunder and Splash. Like Josh said, that was a 25-minute ride. So then we hit Under the Sea and Dumbo and Barnstormer. So big attractions right there.
Oh, yeah.
Three big ones, huge. We did Space three times. We did Space three times in 28 minutes. And Buzz, TTA, Seven Dwarves, which wound up being our longest wait. They were having mm-hmm. some ride issues. Haunted, and finished up with Pirates.
And how many snack breaks did you have?
We had three breaks.
Yes.
And we each got at least a drink and a snack, either popcorn or ice cream every time.
I got both one time.
Did you?
You might as well.
Yeah,
it's free. As well.
Josh, what is a typical, do you typically take 1, 2, 3, 4 snack breaks at your
parties? Yeah, per hour.
Per hour, okay.
Well, that's impressive.
And dairy doesn't bother you, so that's good.
Yeah.
So Josh got his money's worth back in the snacks for the
$120. Well, you know, they joke about people coming in with coolers and stuff, but you will see people at the end of the night getting 8, 10, 12 Mickey bars and putting them in a cooler, which makes me wonder if they'll change that portion of the event, especially because those snack stops can take so much time. If you stop in Frontierland or something, you can easily wait 10, 12, 15 minutes. Even if everything's free, there's still only one cast member standing there trying to get all the popcorn and get the drinks and get the ice cream and on and on and on. And that can be a frustrating aspect, especially when you know a 10-minute wait means you're going to be able to ride Peter Pan's flight 2 fewer times.
Right. Why didn't you guys take a cooler?
We didn't think about it. I did notice over in Tomorrowland, the lines were always long.
Yeah, I think Frontierland and Tomorrowland had the longest lines. Yep. There was one place right outside of Haunted that seemed to always be short.
Right.
We passed it 2 or 3 times, and it seemed to always be short.
But I do think that was Derek and I both figured we spent about $30 a piece. We would have spent $30 a piece on snacks. So we kind of, in our own way, justified, because I think Derek got the pass holder discount, which knocked it down to $90. Is that correct?
95,
and then we knocked 30 off for that. So $65 for the night we felt was very, very reasonable. What do you think, Josh?
Well, I enjoyed it enough to go a second time.
Says a lot.
Maybe just because my memory isn't so good anymore. But there's no other experience like it. And even if the price is a bit on the high side, there is a lot of staff, and those rides are expensive to run. Right. So I think you are getting your money's worth. And certainly, if you don't have a ticket for the day, and you're going to go in 7 and get 3 more hours out of it, especially during the summer when you can enjoy the fireworks at 9:15 and then go get a good spot to go to a ride with a short wait, you can certainly find some value. On the other hand, if you're going to multiply $120 by 4 people, that's $500.
Yeah.
And most people would be able to stay another night in a moderate resort and add a day or two to their tickets for that. So it can also depend on how much time you have. Does the opportunity cost? You know, it just depends what you want to do. You could go to California Grill, get a filet mignon, and watch the fireworks from up there for less money.
That's true.
So it just depends what you want to do. It delivers exactly what it says it's going to deliver, and a lot of people do enjoy it.
And you alluded to it a while ago. You don't realize how empty the park is until you actually experience this. Derek and I, it was funny walking out after 1 o'clock is when we realized how many people were actually there walking down Main Street. That's when you see most of the people. But before that, it seems like, as you said a while ago, the park just seems so empty.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people are on Main Street at the end of the night, isn't it?
It is. It is.
But you'd never guess there were that many people in the park because there's so many places to be.
We kind of mentioned this. We had you back on episode 12. He was our first guest in the Hall of Personalities. But we mentioned this then. You know, we've always been fans of yours for the fact that you are actually in the park researching this for yourself, and you're weighing those cost analysis versus what you could potentially spend and what you're getting for your dollar amount. A lot of the blogs out there just kind of report on how great the event is, but you kind of get down to the matter of, is it worth it, why it is, why it isn't, what could you do with your money otherwise. So we appreciate you for that, Josh.
Well, I did feel a little goofy. I was there with my girlfriend, and we had paid to go on media night. So there's like 150 people comped there, and here I am spending $125.
That's because
such is life. I get to be on podcasts like this one. So I guess it's all worth it.
But we're the consolation prize.
And Josh, it's for the children, right?
Oh yeah. Every dollar I spend is actually for charity. So there's that too.
Now but one thing you always do when you go is ride Magic Carpets of Aladdin by yourself, correct?
Absolutely.
Real quick, one more question about this, and then maybe the guys have another. Do you ever see Disney doing this at one of the other parks, a similar event, after hours?
An after hours event? I mean, who knows what they're going to do with Galaxy's Edge? I mean, they might have to run that thing 24 hours a day. Mm. The nice thing about Magic Kingdom is you walk 100 steps in any direction and you're going to be at an open attraction, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
At Epcot, I mean, imagine having to walk from Soarin' to Test Track to Frozen and that's not true. Seeing anything on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's as much demand for it, but you never know. Disney is intelligent the way they set their prices. You know, these things sell out, but just barely. Yep. And that's pretty much what they're trying to do, and they do it very well. So to answer your question, I would doubt it. It would have made some sense maybe at Avatar Pandora.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if it happens, we will get the breaking news from you first, correct?
Oh, yeah, I'm your rumor guy.
Confirmed.
He didn't hear it from you.
So let's move on to early morning magic. Craig and Derek here, they went to the after hours event, and the next morning went back to early morning magic. Now, have you ever tried that, Josh?
I have not had the pleasure, no.
First of all, Derek, what did you all do during early morning magic? Now, I believe that's 7:45 to 9 a.m., and it's $70 a person? So you've got 1 hour and breakfast at Pinocchio's Village House is included, right? So what did you and Craig do during that extra early morning magic?
Okay, we arrived at 7:22. We were able to be on Peter Pan by 7:47. We rode it twice. We were heading over to Pooh, and they were having trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train 10 times.
10.
We didn't decide that walking over there, but Derek decided that for us.
Nice of you, Derek.
And then by that time, it was about 8:54, and we rode Pooh once and then headed over to breakfast at 9, exactly 9.
And breakfast was very good. Full buffet, everything you can think of, eggs, bacon, sausage, toast. There was waffles.
Charcuterie, which I was some surprised. Some
of that, yes. Cinnamon rolls. I mean, everything you think of, fruit. It was very well done.
Not everything you can think of.
Well, for the most part. But it was very good. We enjoyed it, and I would recommend it as well. $70, again, for a few hours where we were able to ride. I guess that was a total of 13 rides. Not too bad. And a full breakfast. And you can eat the breakfast at 10 o'clock. You don't have to do that during the actual time. You can eat it afterward.
I usually go in about 9:45, 9:50.
And after that, we were able to go on through the park, and we avoided Fantasyland the rest of the day, which
We only did one other thing really. We did the Hall of Presidents at 10.
We left after that. That's what it was. Yes,
that might be the most anticlimactic story I've ever heard in my life. go to early morning magic, and then go to Hall of Presidents and leave. That's the touring plan.
You guys just got roasted.
Well, Josh, to really tell you, we were going to end on a big bang and go over to Country Bear Jamboree, but they didn't open until 11. And we wanted to get over. We were going to Hollywood Studios next.
We went to Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom. So that it would have been such a huge ending going to Country Bears, but, you know, it just didn't work out.
Well, I'll let it slide.
Does that sound more exciting, though, than Hall of Presidents?
Yeah, I mean, if I were you, I would have just lied and said that you went to Tomorrowland and didn't have to wait at all, and then Splash Mountain. It was just a great morning.
But instead, the Hall of Presidents, which should be closed, right?
Now. You're gonna get me in trouble.
We'll backtrack a little bit. So it seems like you've enjoyed your experiences at Early Morning Magic. Is it one that you would highly recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, I'm a big Early Morning Magic guy. As long as you are interested in the rides that it offers, it's much more limited because only Mine Train, Peter Pan's Flight, and Winnie the Pooh are open. Sometimes they open the carousel, sometimes they open Small World. So if you don't want to do those attractions, the event is obviously not for you. But if you do, you know, it eliminates the stress of the morning of having to get out there and crowd around in the summer heat. And you can go enjoy yourself in a way that you can't ordinarily enjoy yourself with only a couple of hundred people there who almost instantaneously disperse. And then you have the entire day to stay ahead of the crowds or go to Hall of Presidents. So I really enjoy it. You know, I don't do it, obviously, every day. It's an every other week thing for me.
We probably need to emphasize, too, that for after hours, you do not have to have a park ticket. But for extra magic hours, you have to have
early morning magic.
You do have to have a park ticket.
Now, this is one week the three of us kind of talked about while we were down here. You mentioned it was probably doubtful that they would do the after hours at the other parks, but we were talking about how this is something that really you could probably put into a different section of all the other parks. For example, Pandora could offer a similar early morning magic with its two rides and breakfast at Setuli or something. Is that something you think we'll see in the near future?
Yeah, I think it's surprising that they didn't do it with Toy Story Land and they haven't done it with Pandora. Obviously, at Toy Story Land, they're doing the morning extra magic hour every day until the end of August, which is really nice.
Yes.
And maybe that's better for people because it's not an additional cost.
Right.
But certainly, with the close proximity of those rides, as well as being able to serve breakfast from Woody's Lunchbox, and then Avatar Flight of Passage is still the worst rope drop experience you can have with everybody crammed
awful
onto that bridge, you know, and it's so hot and there's no airflow. If you could bypass that for $70 and ride Flight of Passage six times,
oh man,
Navi River Journey three times and have a Setuli breakfast air conditioned. And the other thing is, all Disney would have to do is throw a couple of extra paper fast passes your way. Like, even if you didn't think the breakfast was worth it, you know, it's only Pandora. What if they just handed you three paper fast passes for Safari Everest and Dinosaur, or at Hollywood Studios Rock and Roller Coaster Tower of Terror Star Tours, and it becomes a very attractive offering. So maybe you have to give credit to Disney for not doing that if you're the sort of person who thinks that they're just adding all of these upcharge events. The fact is that they haven't added them, and they absolutely could. Mm-hmm. So there is some restraint there.
That's true. Well, once they hear this show, they're probably going
to. I'm
going
to say, Josh, yeah, all the high Disney execs are listening probably right now. You're going to steal these ideas and give you no credit.
Well, it's possible that this is all a long con and that people just look at me as this one honest person, but I'm taking in more money from Disney than anybody. It's very possible. Because I am absolutely not the person that would disclose that. just something to think about.
We appreciate your honesty, Josh.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk about the breakfast a little bit. I was pleasantly surprised by the breakfast. I know that Josh has said it's, from what I remember reading, I believe he recommended that it was well worth it. That I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed charcuterie trays. And
you just like saying charcuterie.
I do. I like the meat sweats.
It goes along with your DVC renter profile.
Yeah, the breakfast is really good, and it just seems like everybody is so friendly at that sort of thing. Like, they don't ordinarily have soft drinks, but if you ask, or if they'll ask you if there's anything you want, you say, well, yeah, I was hoping to get a Diet Coke or something, they'll go back and get you one. And for the after hours, you know, after the first hour, it just seems like everybody else has gone to sleep. You know, it's midnight. Everybody's tired.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to start the day.
Yeah, I don't think there's a better way to start the day at Magic Kingdom. There is obviously a cost involved, but if you can swing it just to eliminate the stress and have your day set up so nicely, you've already cranked out the three highest priority rides in Fantasyland, and you're in the best position to go ride Space Mountain and Buzz Lightyear and then go enjoy breakfast. It's a fantastic day.
Or Hall of Presidents.
Or Hall of Presidents, you know, if you attended a previous event the night before.
Well, I've always thought, too, that, and this is a good example of it, the best time to get your pictures is during those early breakfasts in the parks, especially at Magic Kingdom, because you're ahead of the crowds, especially now that everybody down Main Street. I remember used to go eat at Crystal Palace, and we'd use that time to go up in front of the castle and get some pictures real quick. But this is a great opportunity when, there's no one hardly in the park to get some pictures of some empty streets and those type of things as well.
Yeah, for sure.
We want to just briefly ask you, because you go and review a lot of these Enchanted Extra events. What's one or two that stand out to you? Apart from the ones we've talked about, what's one or two that stand out to you as a good value, a good deal that you would encourage our listeners to try if they had opportunity? And then maybe what's one or two that you would say definitely not do?
Oh, that is a good question. So much of it comes down to what you're looking for and what you want. Make a good case for just about all of them. Is that a good answer?
It's a perfect answer. Spot on, yes. It's exactly what we're looking for. I mean, are there any that you would just say were terrible and totally not worth it?
You know, there's some things that I care less about, like the Frozen dessert party at Epcot, which I did, which if you want to ride Frozen and you can't get a fast pass, it's a lot easier now. And it, you really want to see Illuminations, like that's a great event for you. If I never saw Illuminations again, I'd be a much happier person. And I don't care about Frozen, so it's not necessarily the event for me. And if you don't drink, you know, there's a lot less value in outside of the Magic Kingdom. You know, you're paying for the booze to a point that the Frozen dessert party is all you can drink, beer, wine, and cocktails. Same with Rivers of Light, same with Star Wars. So if you're not going to do that, it can be more difficult to try to rationalize the cost. But it's rare that there isn't a demographic that the events speak to, which is why they continue to sell out and continue to be offered.
You just became Derek's best friend by saying you hated Illuminations. Derek is with you in that party.
Well, the first minute is good. And the last minute is good.
See, my problem is I don't.
I might
see the first minute and I won't make it to the last minute because I'm ready to go after the first minute.
You know, you got to try these things out. A lot of times, what you think based on what you read isn't going to be true, and you can't really express the sort of feeling you get, which is sort of. For the Rivers of Light dessert party, you know, it could be very pleasant. I doubt it, but I've been surprised before.
Well, Josh, I'm glad you said that because I sent you this not long ago. This was in one of your recent articles, and I can't remember what this was in reference to, but you said, and I quote, you know, a lot of times Josh gets unfairly hated on social media for being negative. We think he's realistic.
Absolutely.
But he wrote this. He said, "Perhaps like life in general, it's best to enjoy the time you do have with the people you're lucky enough to love." Isn't that beautiful, guys?
You're going to make me cry.
Is that? Are you sure that was from
that's
Josh?
That's from the Josh Humphrey, yes.
Huh.
That was like out of a poetry book or something.
You got to throw people off from time to time.
Did you have a guest writer that day? Is that what that was?
Like I tell people, I've actually never been to Disney World before. So who knows what's going on behind the curtain.
I have noticed on one of your articles back at the 1st of August where you talked about, we always say don't go to Magic Kingdom on Saturday. And then it's interesting enough, you do a Magic Kingdom summer afternoon touring, a time that we would say, do not go there. And you successfully showed how to tour Disney on a Saturday afternoon, which was very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you can make almost anything work. You know, the trick is always the same, to get there early and go to the priority attractions before people, most people have the opportunity to get there. That's always what you want to do. And you can do that on the busiest day of the year or the least busy day. The difference is really what you're looking at come 10:30 or 11 when everybody has arrived and the waits really do.
Well, Josh, we appreciate you joining us today, and we're hoping to have you on again in the very near future, maybe even Monday.
I was going to say, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Right now, it's time for the longest-running segment in the history of the Grim Grinning Guys, a segment we like to call...
Grim Grinning Greatness.
I changed it up a little, guys. We've got a special guest. You
threw us off.
We've got to change it.
So, Josh, are you ready to participate in this segment?
I cannot wait.
I bet he can't. Today's Grim Grinning Greatness question is something Josh and I were discussing earlier, as a matter of fact. And I'll just ask the question, then Josh can answer first. What's one upcharge event you would like to see Disney add that they don't already have? So, Josh, what's the one you would like to see them put forth for the customer?
Well, I enjoy nighttime photography like a lot of people do, but it's really awkward being there as like closing time approaches, but that's the only way to get some of the pictures with nobody else in them. So I would love to be able to pay some amount of money to have an after-hours photography pass. To be able to feel like I'm taking pictures without making people stay there later just to watch me. So it would be nice to be able to stay an extra hour in World Showcase and go to town without feeling like I've got security walking towards me, you know, trying to push me out of the park. So I would love something like that, and I know there are a number of other people would as well.
Yeah, and that's one that wouldn't require a lot of them having to pay a lot of staff to have things up and running. So I've got one.
Okay.
So you guys went to Disney After Hours. I want to go to Disney All Night.
So a 24-hour event.
No, not a 24-hour event. Oh. One that opens at midnight and closes at 8 a.m. It's similar to, of course, Derek, you and I went to a couple of 24-hour days a few years back when they offered those. I mean, I don't know what you could charge, probably $300 for that, and you would have the Magic Kingdom to yourself from midnight to 8 a.m. It's probably not cost efficient because you'd have to pay so many people to run all those rides, but hey, why not? We're dreaming here. Josh, you think that'll happen?
No.
One can hope.
Matthew, I'll go with you. Mine is, I want to be there from midnight until park opening. But they go through their usual routine at night when they're closed. That's my hard ticket out of them. I want to see them doing what they do.
Like, do you want to help them clean
I
up the park?
I just want to see what they do, yeah.
You just want to watch.
I want to, get on Space Mountain and see when they're getting all the stuff that's been thrown out during
those
the day.
Those two spots.
You know, I just want to see all the stuff that they do when no one's there.
You can probably do that. Just get, like, try to get employed there and tell them you want to work the overnight shift. Well, I get what you're saying.
I guess they would pay me rather than me pay them, so that's a good idea. Yeah.
I think they call that a job.
I don't want that.
And last but certainly not least, our graveyard enforcer here, Derek.
The enforcer.
Yeah.
It is hard because I think they, like Josh said, they offer so much right now, and all of them are hitting a certain type of traveler. I kind of like the Highway in the Sky dining thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they could do a specific resort, maybe some of the deluxe resorts that have multiple restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once a week you're at a new restaurant and you're kind of sampling the food, kind of like the Highway in the Sky, but it'd be specific to a deluxe resort for the month or something.
Yeah, so like days. So like at Animal Kingdom, you've got Boma, you've got Jiko, you got Sanaa.
Right.
And like a little sampling. That seems right up Josh's alley.
That should be up anyone's alley,
yeah,
I think.
That's true.
So you want a dining reservation?
Sometimes they're hard to come by, Josh.
Josh is starting to question our, well, he probably already was, our intellectual ability to come up with this stuff. But
that's a tough question, though.
That's a winner right there.
Josh is,
I think mine's still pretty good. I mean, get a job.
Get a job. Well, Josh, yeah. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to having you join us again on this coming Monday. So any final words you have for the listeners before you depart?
Listen to the next podcast, please. I'm all about numbers.
That will be number 71. Thank you very much, Josh. Listeners, we appreciate you following us on the show. Share with your friends. And as you leave, be sure to
beware the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.